Good morning, everybody. This will be a kind of an abbreviated coffee with the pastor this morning as we talk about Lent and our future. Thank you all so much for coming out to our Ash Wednesday service yesterday at First Lutheran Church, either in person or virtually. And we woke up this morning to yet another snowy morning here in Baltimore. I feel a little not lied to, but I was told that Baltimore might get one snow day a year. So whoever told me that, it was not true because it has snowed multiple times, and I'm kind of ready for it to end at this point. But, you know, my kids will enjoy it, so that's a good and a plus. So yesterday during Lent, in one section of my message and the liturgy, we called upon a fast of the people of First Lutheran for our church, our nation, as individuals. Lent is all about that reorientation of our personal souls back to Christ, that we reorient our faith to Jesus. And it's that important time of the year where we do that. And in many churches I shared are not having Ash Wednesday services this year because of the pandemic. And it was really strange yesterday when Deacon Jim and I had to take those giant Q-tips, dip them into the ashes, and then put them on people's foreheads with gloves on. And I had a mask on as well. But, you know, that was for the protection of everybody. But it was definitely something they didn't teach in seminary. They didn't teach us how to impose ashes with Q-tips. And I had to, I think, drive almost an hour yesterday to go and pick those up. Again, I just thank you for seeing the importance of that service. Each Wednesday in Lent, we will have a service of some sort at the church. And I'm really grateful for that. We also had services during Advent on Wednesday nights. And so we're going to be exploring both the North American Lutheran Church devotional each week, along with some of my thoughts on the week. So I want to share that devotional with you. Again, you just go to the NALC's website, and I'll be able to pull that up for you. I thought I had it up, but apparently I didn't. So if you go on our denomination website, the NALC, and I'm going to share that screen with you. The very first thing that pops up on that screen is From Ashes to Easter. And this is the resource that I used from last night. And you just go down here and you download the PDF. So don't read them on Wednesdays, but the rest of the week, I encourage you to read those along with me. So you know exactly what I'm following each week. And I have done this, again, for the last 3 to 4 years, even when I wasn't rostered with the North American Lutheran Church at that time. And so it's a great resource. And in today's passage, let's see, it tells us we are to read, it is February the 18th, this passage out of John. Chapter 1, verse 29. Let's see if I can zoom in a little bit for you all, because I don't know about you, but I can barely read it on the screen. So the next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness, and I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remains this is he who baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God.'" So again, John chapter 1 is one of my favorite parts of scripture, because John is always so clear on the theology of the Trinity and who Jesus is. And there's no room for question, right? We know that John 1:1 opens up with, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." So that Jesus Christ took the form of a slave servant and became human so that he may die for us and our sins. And we begin to recognize that in our Lenten service last night, that in fact, as human beings, we deserve one thing, and that's death. Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So I had everybody raise their hand if they were sinners. It wasn't a trick test. Some people might not have raised their hands, but the truth is, we're all sinners in the eyes of the Lord. We all, hey, June, good morning. We're all sinners in the eyes of the Lord. And so we have to recognize our own sinfulness. And we do that corporately through our corporate confession. We do that individually with the Lord. In the denomination I grew up in, it started with confession among your peers in small groups. And then you would get a card, and then that card would be stamped, and then you could go get communion on Sunday. I could tell you, somebody shared they would definitely not want to do that today, but in parts of like Africa, they're still doing that. We need to be able to be open, because when we're not open about our sin, we do not allow God, and through God, the people, the church, to help us grow in our faith. And so that corporate confession is really essential to who we are as believers. And likewise, that private confession that we, and I read part of that scripture last night, and I might try to find it for us real quick, where the tax collector beats on his chest and says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." Wasn't even willing to look at God, look at the temple. Let's see if I could find the exact scripture so I know exactly what we're quoting here. So it's in Luke 18:13, and it tells us this, right? "But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner.'" So this is the type of humility that Jesus is looking for, that God is looking for in his people. So many times we fail in our aspect of humility. And part of Lent is restoring some of that, recovering our humility. That's why we fast. That's why we give up some things at Lent. And it's not because we're Roman Catholics. But it is important to have some piety, I think. Not everybody might agree with me, but that's okay. I think some personal piety is a good thing. It's not going to save us. Absolutely not. That's God and God alone and his grace. But to recognize how messed up we really are for Jesus, that we have some growing to do. And so I titled this Coffee with the Pastor, which I hope you have your coffee. I have a nice cold brew here this morning. And so even though it's nice and cold, I could have a hot coffee. But I titled our lesson Lent and Our Future. Because when we had worship last night, we talked about how our individual sin can in fact affect the entire community. And so it's true. You know, when we look at the world around us and we look at our country in particular right now, and there's a lot of division politically, racially, I believe it all starts as a sin issue. And all of the sin issue creates division in the unity of the country. And so then we look at the church and we look at the sin of the church, and not just ours in particular. But we look at the denominations, for example, that like we came from the ELCA. I came from the UMC, that is undergoing a lot of sin issue right now over human sexuality, over politics, At one point in their history, they were divided over slavery. And so I'd have to really know about the ELCA to know further issues beyond human sexuality. I know one of my buddies was an Anglican priest in Monroe, Louisiana, and they were beginning to ordain non-Christians in the Episcopal Church to ministry. So they left and became an Anglican church. So that's a sin issue. It's not a anything else. There's no other way to describe it. When we talk about abortion, when we talk about all of these problems that we have to get back to the core, and that is sin. So for our congregation in particular, we have to be able to say, okay, what are personal sin issues that we need to resolve? What are some corporate sin issues that we need to resolve in order to have a good future? And again, every church has to do that. I mean, we're all guilty. We're a bunch of sinners under the house of the Lord. So of course we're going to bring some of our own sin into the house. I'm going to bring my sin to the house as well. We just got to be able to recognize that sin and deal with it, and be able to grow in our faith. And so we want our congregation in particular to be an example of how we deal with sin and how we move forward through this Lenten season, especially. That's why we're talking about it. And so that's what we need to do. And so, again, I want us to look back at that scripture from John this morning that came from the North American Lutheran Church's devotional through Lent. And I'm going to pull that up for us. So here we got John the Baptizer, again, testifying that Jesus is going to come. And he was baptizing with water, but Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, June, I bet you this weather outside is causing me some issues. So hopefully it will all work at the end. And so I saw a spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, "He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit." So it's confirmation of who Jesus is, the Son of God, God in the flesh. And so I want us to think this morning, when have you seen witness of who Jesus is in your own life? When have you seen the evidence that God of the universe is real? Because most people, you know, that's the challenge, right? I remember, especially when in my teenage years in high school, having these debates, and that's before I was really equipped with some good head knowledge from Bible college and seminary. But the question would always be, well, I can't see God. Why would I believe in something that's imaginary? But then at Lent time, because we were in a very Catholic area, you couldn't even get pepperoni on your pizza. It was all cheese. We were still really influenced and still is very influenced by Catholicism, which is not always a bad thing, right? There is at least a radar of what's moral or not. So good morning. So this morning I'm losing my trains of thoughts here. We have to recognize who Jesus is in our life, and where he is and where he's working. And so I just challenge you this morning. I'm going to take like 30 seconds of silence, and I want us to think of, where have you seen Jesus? Where is he working in your life? Think of those times where life was not so good and God showed up. So I'm going to put a 30-second timer on there, and I want you to think about, where have you seen God? And then I ask you to put it up in the comments, and maybe we'll talk about one of them. And also, if you have any questions for me this morning, that's kind of the purpose of this. It's not really a Bible study, more so for me to dive into some questions. So I'm going to put that 30-second timer. right. So you guys got that moment with God that he showed up in your life, and you expected, you didn't know what was happening. Life was challenging. Life was difficult. I can tell you, since the pandemic, more and more people are really struggling with this. And this return to a nationwide fast that we spoke about from Joel yesterday is really needed. Food insecurity, for example, is on the rise. And so I had some conversations this morning with what are we going to do about it as a church? And so, of course, we'd love to have some type of food pantry ministry. Don't know when that's going to happen. We have a few people I know interested in helping facilitate that. But until that moment, I am praying and thinking about asking the congregation to maybe donate some Aldi's gift cards, because first, Aldi's goes a long way. Two, there's no risk of anything being purchased other than food. And when families come into the church looking for assistance for food in particular, I can hand them a gift card. So I'm going to start off and actually go there once the roads are salted, because I have a family even today that needs some help. And so we have to get back to the basics. We have to get back to being able to be the church. And the church was always the first one to be there for people, to help the hungry, the homeless, the downtrodden, right? And so what are we doing at First Lutheran to make that happen? And so where did I see God in the midst of that? That people are coming to the church still because they trust us to provide their needs. You can do a blessing box. Yes. So I'm going to put let's see if it'll work. Yeah. So we can put a blessing box outside of the church where people can come get items. And so that's awesome. I saw Advent Lantana, my previous congregation out in South Florida. They have this little box out in the front. And I know I posted it on our Facebook group before. And yeah, basically members of the congregation would put some food in there and people would take, and it would be nice and secured and closed, because I know we do have a mouse problem here in Dundalk, AKA the car of mine that they ate. So we want to keep sure that they can't get inside, but I would love to do that. And someone asked, well, what happens if somebody goes in there and takes all the food? Well, as I was taught by Mr. Brown down in Chiefland, Florida, and I've said it in my sermons, the sin's on them if they don't need it. If they need it all, then we can't worry about it. We just got to keep filling it up. I think that would be an incredible opportunity. And so I got one from Miss June here. I'm going to put that on the stream. In the 80s, Harvey had an aorta operated on. Even when I was alone, I never felt alone. God was right there with me. I felt his presence. Absolutely. So God in the midst of a health crisis, I understand completely. From when Amanda this past year during the birth of Anna Marie, and didn't know it was going to happen, but you never feel alone, do you? Because the Lord's with us. And so I hope that's what we help provide to some of these people that are coming to the church for help, that they feel loved and they're not alone. Because I tell you what, when you don't have a church family and you are really out on your own, and like us, right, we don't have any family here other than our church. And so we have to be there for one another. And I guarantee I'm not the only one in this church that has no family up here. There's others. There's definitely others in our community that have nobody. So let us, you know, be of support to our community through food, number one. I think we could help with that, and it's not very expensive. We can help with being a presence for Jesus, praying for people. So I asked you this morning, how can I pray for you? I'd love you to write your comments on the side there so we can pray this morning. We're going to pray for Chuck. Chuck had a seizure again this past Wednesday, yesterday. And so I shared Jennifer and Bill learned how to run the presentation in a different way than they ever have. So I appreciate them last night for doing that. And so we're going to pray for Chuck. And yeah, I'm just going to start praying. And if there's something that you'd like me to pray about, please write it on the side and we will add that to the prayers. Almighty God, we thank you for our church and the opportunity that we have to serve you in this community. God, we pray for Chuck, especially this morning, that he recovers from that seizure that he had yesterday. God, I was blessed to be able to talk to him, and he seemed to be doing better. God, we pray for Roddy and his continued pain. God, I saw him last night, and yeah, you could tell he was hurting. So God, be with him. We're going to pray for Tom Coffin, who continues to have COVID-19. And God, we ask for his full recovery. I'll put some of that on there. So we got Tom Coffin, and we have Louisiana and Texas. I don't fully know everything that's going on there, but I know that a lot of people are without power and without utilities. And there was a big accident in Texas because all of us from the South have no idea how to drive in the snow, and it was snowing in Texas. So, Lord, we lift up those two states especially, and all that live in it, that you provide warmth, that you provide the workers needed to recover power and utilities to the people, God, and those that were killed in that accident in Texas. God, may you be with their families. We pray for the homeless, absolutely, in this cold weather. God, where shelter is not available. God, or they don't meet the criteria, keep them safe. Keep them alive during this time, and help our church intervene in lives in this way if we can. God, we lift up all of this to you. We lift up each person that is watching this morning. God, may you be with their families, and their friends. God, and as we go through Lent together, May we refocus who we are, reorient our faith lives during this time of fasting and prayer and deep Bible study as we lead up to your death on the cross for our sins and Easter morning. God, be with us. Help us be better disciples for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, guys, I just again want to thank you all for tuning in this morning for this episode of Coffee with the Pastor on this snowy Thursday morning. I hope each of you are doing well. And as always, please reach out to me if you have any questions. I would love to begin to dive into some deep theology, maybe even this morning, with people. If you have questions, like I've gotten emails, how do I do this with my kid, or share this with my child or my family member? I'd love to get those type of questions on here so I can begin to talk about them in this platform. That's kind of the hope and desire. So, or slip me a note on Sunday morning, write it on a piece of paper. I'll put it in my pocket and pray that I don't lose it. And or put it in my mailbox at the church, and I'll begin to answer those questions here live. So yes, everyone, please stay safe in this weather. I'm going to get out and drive to Aldi's at some point this morning so I can get those gift cards we were just talking about. But I said I'm going to wait till the roads are salted. So stay safe, stay warm. Let's pray again. Continue to pray for those in the South that have no utilities. I heard it was like 20 degrees in Louisiana, and which is, I don't know, it's hotter up here than it is down there. So thank you all. May God bless you, and may God keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Talk to you soon.